And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It's Wednesday, April the 18th, 2018, 4/18/18, 18 minutes past the hour. Terry, something you want to talk about?
No.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, I thought you had a little thing you wanted to talk about.
No. That's it. I'm not going to address it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll just roll on then.
Yeah. I'm not even going to address it. It's minor on the radar as far as.
Well, I do think that it's interesting because I'll put it this way. I'll bring in a little bit of tape tomorrow that I'll play for the audience that was produced by the founder of Marion Radio, Bob Mason, who we talked about earlier on.
Okay.
And maybe he can lead a little insight. See, here's what people who don't do their history don't realize. Let me get into this story, and then I'll tell you about the Gypsy Queen.
Okay.
Bob Mason, who was the original owner, founder, starter of WMRN Radio. Now, the first thing is, do you know what MRN stands for?
Marion, right?
No.
I thought it was an abbreviation. Okay.
No. Marion Radio News.
Oh, okay. All
right. Okay. Now, to cover news, you do have to cover politics.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bob Mason certainly understood this, and I have a piece of audio footage, or audio, you wouldn't call it footage, what do you, tape? Mm-hmm. Audio tape?
Yeah.
I have a piece of audio tape that Bob Mason made way back in the 1940s, where he talks about what a local radio station should be, and it's not music. And it's interesting because the AM station was there long before the FM station. Now, the funny thing was that Bob himself did a radio show. People forget this. Charlie could tell you about this because Charlie was the engineer for Bob Mason's show. Bob Mason's show, do you know what it was all about? Politics.
Oh.
Bob Mason, the owner of WMRN, founder of broadcast media in Marion, was a very political animal. His show, it was called As We View It, aired on Sunday, and it was all about politics. And he would take politicians, state and national, not just local, he would take them to task. He would give opinions. He told, and this is the station owner. And it's funny because somewhere along the line, people have decided that that's not okay. Well, the founder did it. That's what Marion Radio was founded on long before music and everything infiltrated it. That's how he saw it. And as a matter of fact, Charlie Evers can tell you more about this on Friday. But what he used to do was he would take a politician to task, and then he would write a letter telling them, because they weren't listening to him. You know, state politicians weren't listening to Bob Mason. But he would send a transcript of that show to the politician. And then, of course, they would send back a letter, and he would read their letter on the air. So that's how much
Bob, the response.
Their response.
Okay, okay.
So he would write, you know, the congressman, or he would write the senator of, or he'd write the governor of Ohio, and he would read their responses on the air. His show was all about politics. There was no music. There was no entertainment. There was no sports.
He was Bob strictly
Mason, he was a political animal. As I View It, or As We View It, basically was the name of the show. And he gave his opinion. That was what it was all about.
Yeah.
So, you know, some people are a little confused about the history of Marion Radio, and God bless them. And also, I think there is some confusion on how things come about. We have never paid for anything as far as an event goes.
Right.
So
absolutely.
I can say that with 100% certainty that we have never paid for an event, and I can guarantee you that when it comes to local events, that no media outlet in town would shy away from them. None. So there you go.
Right.
There was never a lack of desire. I can tell you that, firsthand knowledge, that it wasn't that.
Right.
So there you go. And that's the truth. And we deal in truth.
Yeah.
We deal in truth and opinion, but we're not tabloid. We don't spread lies. And that is the truth. Yeah. So there you go.
Yep.
And, you know, Charlie even has one of these old As We View It programs, which I think we're actually going to transcribe and let people hear exactly what Marion Radio was founded on back in the 1940s. An opinionated man talking politics. Go figure.
Who would have thunk it?
Who would have thunk it?
Yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah.
So there you go.
All right.
So if you want to know, that's the history. That's the truth. And jealousy breeds... you know, some tomatoes our way. But I also think, and I got into this yesterday, to think that we have a particular horse in any race is insane.
No.
Because we just don't. I mean, opinions, sure, you got opinions.
Absolutely.
Got opinions on everything.
You have to have a, you know.
But I never understood why having an opinion on a political matter made you... anti that person. Like, we have spent all morning praising Barbara Bush.
Absolutely.
Barbara Bush was a wonderful first lady.
She was.
I put her in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
She's a Republican. Now, we've been labeled a lot of times as a big liberal station. Well, it's awful strange for a big liberal station to be praising a Republican first lady.
Right.
If that were the case.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the case.
Right.
It's based on the person.
Yeah.
And, yes, we've had Sherrod Brown on, but, yes, we have had very conservative Jim Jordan on just mm-hmm. as many times, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a silly thing. And tabloids like to... spread things around, and I don't even like to take the time to address it, but I thought I would today because history is important,
right.
And the Bob Mason tie-in, and that he was all about politics,
oh,
and
yeah.
One of the witnesses to that, Charlie Evers, can tell you all about that on Friday, and then you can educate yourself and understand why radio is what it is.
It is, yeah.
And also, do you know of any television station, Columbus, National, that doesn't talk about happenings, current events?
No.
So there you go.
Yeah.
And that is that. Now, back to the trivia, which I think is much more interesting for this particular day and time. Here is a trivia question for you. Where is Eber Baker buried? Where is the founder of Marion buried? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Where is Eber Baker buried? Now, here's one I don't think anybody will ever get. Who hosted Marion Entertains on Marion Radio for many years? I believe it was the 40s and the 50s. Maybe one of our listeners appeared on this program. What was this lady's name? She played the piano for Marion Entertains. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Or tell me where Eber Baker is buried in Marion. Now, we do have one Chipotle car left. Buy one, get one free. And we do have some other things. But let's take this phone call first. Go ahead, caller.
Well, I could say something silly. He's buried in the ground. But he was buried in, the, I think it's called Quarry Cemetery. And then Charlie Evers said that he was dug up and moved over to Marion Cemetery.
Well, Charlie and I have talked about this and even done some research on it. I don't know that he was ever moved. Now, if somebody could produce records to say that he was... exhumed and removed, I think Charlie and I would both agree with that. I'm not definitively saying he's not in the Marion Cemetery, but I can say that there is no proof of that. But
is there a stone for him there?
There is a stone, and I talked to the Marion Cemetery, and they pulled the record on that, and they don't have any record of him being interred there. They don't have any record of it. They just have this is where his marker is.
Did you ever think he didn't die? Maybe he's one of these people that are still walking around.
I don't know. I don't know what Eber Baker looked like.
See, neither do I. So, you know, we could walk into him every day.
Well, I'll tell you why I find it hard to believe. Because I think the Marion Cemetery, I'm not sure when it was started, early 1900s, I believe. But the problem would have been with exhuming Eber Baker Quarry Street Cemetery was already in pretty much disarray at that time, and back in those days, the caskets and vaults were not like they are today, and I think they would have had a hard time digging and finding and identifying that that was him to move him. And I also would guess, at that time, that would have been a front page story in the Marion Star, that the founder of Marion was being transported and exhumed, and I've never been able to find that. There are no dates, no records, nothing to that effect. Not saying it didn't happen, it's a good research project, but there's no definitive proof that he was ever moved.
So I was correct when I said...
You were.
Quarry Cemetery, in the ground.
In the ground. Do you want a prize today?
Well, yeah.
Okay, we have one Chipotle left. Buy one, get one free. We have an oil change to Huntsman's. And we have two tickets for the Marionaires concert at the Palace on the 28th of April.
Oh, I guess I'll take the tickets.
The Marionaires? I will put you down for that. And this is our good friend, the Reverend.
You got it.
Who Facebook has, taken
they,
away
they,
your... Yeah. Go ahead, tell the audience. That's interesting.
Well, I've had Reverend David Lippert as my, whatever you call it, my identification for over 8 years on Facebook. And the other day before I could get on, I had to change my name unless I could prove that that is part of my name. And so I sent them my certificate of ordination. And they say, nope, you don't meet the standards of that Facebook community wants to have. Now, I know there's another guy, Deacon Earl McCurdy. Yeah, McCurdy. His name's still on there. And and then I know someone that actually, to see if they could get a response, changed their name, their first name from Jim to Jihad. and they hadn't asked him to change his name yet. So I think, I think it's ridiculous. And of course, I've got a lot of positive response. And everybody says, we know you. We know who you are. Don't worry about it. And I said, well, I'd rather switch than fight. And that's usually not me. But, I think it's kind of silly. I really do. Like I say, I've had it for over 8 years. Why didn't they, when I first submitted, and joined, they should have said, oh, we don't want you to put that REV in front of your name. And I probably wouldn't have, and this wouldn't be happening. I know a lot of pastors in town that just have their name and don't have pastor, elder, deacon, Reverend, shepherd, or whatever, as their what would you call it, the prefix to their name. So it is interesting, but they won't. I've tried, and they won't let me change it.
It's
I don't think they like me.
Well, it's an interesting tale on Facebook, but I'll call you Reverend. So Reverend, you win the Marionaires.
Thank you.
You win the Marionaires tickets. Thank you.
Thanks. See you, Scott.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Reverend Lippert wins the Marionaires tickets. Now, I do want to let people know the trivia questions are still out there. We do have the one Chipotle ticket left. Buy one, get one free. We do have the Huntsman Auto oil change, and we do have some more Marionaires tickets if you can answer any of the questions that we still have out there. Who hosted Marion Entertains on Marion Radio for many years? It was a lady in the 40s and 50s is when this went on. Played the piano. What was her name? She had a kind of strange name. And we'll throw out a new trivia question for you. Where was Eminem Video located in Marion? Video stores have become a thing of the past, but we did have a video store that was very popular, localized in Marion. Where was it located? You don't have to give us the address, but tell us where it was in Marion. Where was M&M Video located? 740-383-9944. And we do have a guest joining us for the remainder of the hour here in studio, and I will let him introduce himself and his title so I don't screw it up.
My name's Kai Mead, and I'm the president of the Marion County Democrats.
Kai Mead, the president of the Marion County Democrats. We're going to take this call. We'll come back with Kai. Go ahead, caller.
Caller, go ahead.
Eminem Video was located in Fair Park.
What do you know where in Fair Park?
Yeah, right there by the barber shop.
You got it. Right there in the little rundown there. Would you like a prize today?
Sure.
Okay, we have an oil change, and we have a Chipotle, buy one, get one free, and we have tickets to the Marionaires on April 28th.
Chipotle.
All right, you get the last Chipotle. What's your name, sir?
Reggie.
Reggie. Well, Reggie, you can pick up your tickets anytime, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., Monday through Friday.
All right, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Reggie.
Bye, buddy.
Bye-bye. A lot of people over at M&M Video. Very popular place, that's for sure. And another trivia question we'll throw out there, besides who hosted Marion Entertains, what was the abandoned grocery store on Route 4? I got that right, don't I?
Yeah.
I got your mic turned down now. The abandoned grocery store that's out on Route 4, just beyond WMRN, it's still abandoned out there. What was that originally? What store was that? Now, Kai Mead is here with he's the president of the Marion Democrats. Now, am I right about this, Kai? You're the youngest president in the state.
I believe so, but, you know, there's no way of checking. We don't really have a...
You can move that microphone if you want. Make it a little easier there.
There's no way of checking, but from what I've been told, I am.
So how did this happen? How did you become the president of the Democrats?
Well, I started off getting involved a couple years ago, just coming to meetings, volunteering where I could. And then I started off doing a little bit of communications work. Since I'm young, I'm kind of pretty well-versed when it comes to social media and stuff like that. And I worked with Cliff Smith, who was the president last year, and he did a really good job. And when we were thinking about who wanted to run this year, I just said, hey, I think I can do this. I think I can help elect some Democrats. And so I threw my hat in the ring, and it worked out well.
Last year, city council went Republican for the first time in a long time. I believe all three county commissioners are Republican. What can be done?
Well, to elect Democrats, one of the things we need is a solid ground game, which means knocking on doors like crazy. And there's a saying that Democrats' most valuable resource is time and Republicans is money. And that's very true. We need as many volunteers and as much time to knock on doors as possible. I think that's the key to electing Democrats, especially on city council. I think we're going to have a great slate of candidates in 2019, just like we do in 2018.
What makes you a Democrat? At this young age, what made you decide to be a Democrat? What do you define a Democrat as?
I define a Democrat as someone who not only values equality, and not in the sense that Republicans don't as much, but they value equity also, in the sense that we need to bring everybody up. Like, when we grow, it's not just about one or two people growing. It's about everybody. Like, we're all in this together, so we need to grow equally.
Now, Terry, you were a member of the Democratic Club for a long time. Yep. When you were there, what was your feeling?
Well, when I was there, I didn't really feel a lot of unity amongst the members.
Kai, had you noticed that?
We do. We have dealt with that a little bit, where you kind of have two different or a few different groups of people who kind of want to see different things happen. And I think the job of the president and the job of our executive board is to say, your opinion matters, and like what you would like to see done matters. So let's find a way to come together and find a solution that everyone's happy with. Because you're always going to have groups in any political party or anything who have different opinions on specific things. But what matters is they're all Democrats and they all agree on the majority of issues.
What are the big elections coming up this year? Governor, obviously.
Yeah, of course we have governor. In our area, we've got Ohio 4, which is Janet Garrett versus Jim Jordan. If you're maybe in a small part of Marion, you have Ohio 12, which is looking like it's going to get national attention.
Now, what is Ohio 12?
The 12th Congressional District. You have T-Berry, who stepped down, and so now it's kind of an open seat, open race. We've had a lot of candidates from the 12th come in and speak to us. We have locally, I think, which is going to be a really good one, is our county commissioner's race and our prosecutor's race. Those are going to be close ones. It's going to be a lot of door knocking. It's going to be neck and neck, and I think it's going to be
pretty interesting to watch.
Jim Jordan is on CNN. He's on Fox News. He's getting national attention, and he's been here for a long time. How do you combat something like that if you're a Democrat?
Well, it's tough. There's no easy answer up here of how do you get Jim Jordan out of office. It's hard. He's an incumbent. Republicans really like him here. But one of the things we have to realize is Jim Jordan will go on TV and say, Donald Trump has not lied about a single thing. And whether or not you support Donald Trump or not, you know that's not true. And so when I look for my politicians, when I look for the people to represent me, I look for them to represent the people, not just sit there and say, well, Donald Trump has never said anything that's not true. Because even if you supported Barack Obama and you're a Democrat, you know that's not completely true. And so I look for people who represent my community, who want to make my community better, and don't worry about what Donald Trump or what the person above me thinks of me.
Terry, what do you think of that?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I haven't been really in as far as the local level for a long time, but
I think Kai was referring more to the national level there.
As far as I didn't hear to the last bit there, sorry.
Oh, okay. No, he was talking about how Democrats, in regard to President Trump, I don't want to rephrase your question, or your statement.
I can just say that Democrats need to point out the fact that it's not just about what Donald Trump's doing wrong and how Jim Jordan's reacting to that.
That's what important. They should be able to do.
Yeah. It's about what we can bring to the community. Exactly. Because we're doing a disservice to ourselves.
And that's what I've been noticing lately is that they really haven't said that message. They haven't told what they're, you know, all they've highlighted was the wrongs of these instead of actually having a plan.
And it's an interesting situation because there is a lot of stuff that's presented to you that's almost like it's tantalizing where you're like, ooh, I want to talk about it. But I think it's been long enough that how you feel about Donald Trump is how you feel about Donald Trump. And so now it's time to bring answers to the table. It's time to be the adults in the room that come and say, we're for high-paying jobs. We're for bringing you up if you're in the city, if you're in the rural area, or if you're in the suburbs. We're going to help you out. We're going to make sure you can put food on the table for your family, and we're going to make sure that you get quality health care.
In a county that voted 60% for Donald Trump just 2 years ago, how do you turn that around? In Marion County, just in general.
One of the things we're doing is we're trying to get at least a decent turnout for our primaries, because what that does is it identifies more Democrats for us to turn out in the general election. That helps us out. Another thing that we can do is just making that voter contact overall throughout the whole time of being like, of saying, I know you voted for Donald Trump in 2016, but it's my feeling and it's my dealing with people that's not everyone that voted for Donald Trump in 2016 is still feeling that like that now today, because what they want is somebody with answers and they want someone who is going to fix situations. And in my mind, that's Democrats.
We do have the two trivia questions still out there. Where is – oh, no, we got Eber Baker. We got where he was buried. Who hosted Marion Entertains for so many years on Marion Radio? Who was the lady who played the piano? We got Eminem Video. What was the original store in the abandoned grocery store that is now on Route 4? I guess it's not abandoned anymore. They use it as a storage facility, I think, now, just out past WMRN. Or if you have a question for Kai here, 740-383-9944. When it comes to this governor's race on the Democratic side, we have Representative Kucinich, we have Rich Cordray, we have Schiavone, and we have Bill O'Neill. Where do you think Marion's going to go in 20 days?
That's hard to tell. You know, the race is changing so much. You got new stuff coming out every day. You really don't know. It's just impossible to tell. It's going to be a close one. I think that you're going to see a pretty even distribution. I would say more even than most counties with our population size, just because we have had a lot of candidates here. We have had some of the candidates that aren't doing as well in general have better ties to Marion. And so I think you could see a little bit more even distribution.
What do you think, Terry, when it comes to the governor's primary?
Well, I think whoever they decide to go with, I think they really need to support that candidate, you know. And
But as far as the primary goes, I think the Democratic Party has decided we're going to stay out of that.
I was going to say they need to, you know, they need to come out and vote and, you know, make their voice heard, you know, for the primary.
But where do you see Marion County?
I don't know if I can actually pinpoint one candidate or not, but like I say, whoever, you know, whoever the wins, I mean, they need to actually all get with, you know, get behind that candidate.
Is there a candidate, Kai, in your opinion, who would not be a good candidate on the Democratic side? Who could not win in the main?
No, I think all of them have the potential to win. It's just about your ground game. It's about strategy. It's about connecting with voters. There's strengths with each candidate, I think, that they can rely on. And then there's some weaknesses that each candidate has that needs to be shored up. But it's about us all supporting that candidate once the primary is over. And sometimes Democrats aren't the best at that, but it's something we need to acknowledge, we need to work on, and just get out there and work for.
Yeah. Terry, what do you think about the Republican side? DeWine, Mary Taylor?
I think DeWine's going to probably win the primary, but do we want the same status quo that we've had, you know?
It'd be interesting. What do you think, Kai?
I think DeWine's probably going to win. I think with DeWine, you have to ask yourself, even if you're a Republican, is do I want to elect someone that really seems to only put in work 6 months out from the election? Do I want to elect someone that I never see, that can't actually pinpoint something that they're doing for me, for someone, and just for my neighbor and everything like that? We're talking about electing someone for governor. And so you need someone with a record of helping through their entire term, not just the 6 months out from the election.
Do you expect things to go Democrat this year because of everything that's happened in the last 2 years?
I do. I think people are fed up with the status quo right now. And I think there was an expectation that the table was going to be flipped and that everything was going to be new. But we're seeing now that it's just corruption as usual out of the party.
Out of the Republican Party?
As of now, yes.
When you say corruption, what do you mean?
I mean, I think we look at like the national attention that they're getting left and right, and it's not the draining the swamp that we're talking about here. And I think it's a noble cause to sit here and say that we need to get corruption out of D.C. I think that's a good idea, but if you're not doing it, then if I'm a voter, I'm pretty mad about it.
Terry, how have you felt about the last 2 years?
From the Democratic standpoint?
Well, from the national standpoint.
Well, I mean, obviously, I haven't really been happy, but I mean, you know, there's been some issues that I've thought have been good, and then there's...
Do you think it's going to help or hurt the Democrats in the primary in the general election this November?
I hope that they do better in this than they have. But I don't know for sure.
Do you think what has happened will help them?
Yeah, I think it'll help them to an extent. I mean, like I say, as long as there's that unity, because it just seems like you still have, you know, this group wants this, and you know they all just need to come together.
Kai, why is everything so negative? It gets negative in the primary. It certainly is negative in the general. Politics is really different. People used to refer to each other as my distinguished opponent. Now, ooh, you're not going to get that.
Yeah, that's true. The negative portion of politics is just really unfortunate because, to me, the way you win an election is you rally up your base with great ideas, with just some... important just base rallying ideas, and then you go get those independents by saying, you know what, I'm not gonna attack my opponent because my opponent, we disagree on certain things, but my opponent's probably a good person overall. But that's not what it's about. We're talking about changing our environment. We're talking about changing our city. So I'm not gonna attack that person. I'm gonna sit there and we're gonna have a policy discussion. And I think when you're talking about winning over those voters that go Democrat, Republican, like they go back and forth, that's what they want to see. They want to see answers. They don't want to see why the person they're running against is a terrible person.
You know, I was driving in this morning and I was thinking something. Why is it that most people get a an identification as a Republican or a Democrat, but 95% of people do not attend either. They don't attend meetings.
Yeah.
They don't go to those things. So why is there this just common wisdom that you are something?
You know, it's hard to pinpoint why exactly. You just, for one, it's just organizationally, it makes things, I think, easier for people. But then you also run into the negatives, obviously, where you say you might have a Republican who might be a little bit more pro, or might be a little bit more pro clean energy. And they don't like that stigma that comes from saying, being a Republican and saying that you're just all about fossil fuels. And so you do run into issues when you're talking about party affiliation. But I think that where you fight back on that is saying, we're the Democrats. We have a broad tent. Whether or not, whether you might disagree on one or two issues, we're still going to take you in. We still believe that you have a place here.
Is it hard to be the president of the Democratic Club at 18 years old?
20, actually, but
20 years old.
20, actually, but it's not difficult. I would say it has its challenging points, but it's been a ton of fun. I wouldn't have changed anything so far. It's exactly what I've wanted.
What has been your highest moment? What's the thing you like the best? The moment.
My favorite thing I would say is when we have a new member come in, or we have someone who I haven't personally met yet so far, and they say, I'd like to get involved, or they just tell me, I'm voting Democrat this year. And so I have that, like, that heart-to-heart conversation with them about why they support Democrats or why they're getting involved right now and their personal story, because you can deal with these people who are in and out of politics all day. But it's those new people that are just inspired that about one thing or another that are probably my favorite thing favorite people to talk to.
Who have you liked meeting the most?
That's a tough one.
Tell me some of the favorites.
I really like our crop of gubernatorial candidates this year. It's a really interesting bunch. A lot of different personalities there. I will say another young person, John Russell, really interesting to meet. He's running in the 12th. Also, our county commissioner candidate, Tara Dyer, wonderful, wonderful lady. She was a former teacher, and now she's running for our county commissioner spot, and I think that she brings a whole other mindset to politics of saying, like, I've been teaching kids for this long. You've trusted me to educate your kids, and now let me try to give back to my community in another way, and I think that's important. I think it's, in my mind, it's great to have more teachers in government.
In our entire government in Marion County, and I'm just going to limit this to, and it goes beyond this, but if I'm looking at city council, if I'm looking at the mayor, if I'm looking at the county commissioners, I think there are 3 women, no African Americans, no Asian Americans, no Latinos. Why is that?
I think you're just running into it's so hard to pinpoint as to a specific reason. There's probably multiple ones, and anytime you're trying to diagnose something like that, you always run into problems. I think it's just important to look forward to. We do have Tara running, and I think that she's going to put up a heck of a fight, and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that she wins. And I think that once we do have her in office, it'll be a great thing.
Terry, we've never had a female mayor. We have never, well, it's been a long time since we've had a female commissioner. We've never had a female governor. What is that about Ohio?
I think now with Mary Taylor being the lieutenant governor, maybe there's opportunity for him now.
One woman left in the governor's race, right. And she's not winning.
Right.
In her primary.
I don't know. I mean, it just... I would hope it would, we would become more diverse, and
Kai, the Republicans don't seem to be happy with Governor Kasich anymore. Are the Democrats happy with Governor Kasich?
I don't think so. I think it's obviously for different reasons. I think Kasich's got his mind on other things, other races, potentially, but you never know. But yeah, I don't think Democrats are too happy with him. There's obviously been things where he's came to the middle and met with us on, but overall, we can talk on issues till we're blue in the face about things that we disagree with him on, from raising... he cut sales taxes, but he raised different production taxes so that it hit the middle class harder.
How involved were you in the 2016 election?
In 2016, I spent my summer interning for the Ohio Democratic Party. And then in the fall, I was doing some volunteer work for the Democratic Party in Marion. And I was also working for a climate organization on the campus. So I was for this area, I was in charge of going and talking to students and saying, hey, make sure you go turn out. And here's why it's important to go turn out. So I was doing about 20 hours a week, 25 hours a week, talking to students and talking to just different individuals, making phone calls, knocking doors, doing the doing the groundwork to make sure that we can get Democrats elected. So So I think I'm on the path to not being short on experience when it comes to elections.
Here's the interesting thing about 2016. Donald Trump won Ohio by a pretty good margin. Donald Trump won Marion County with over 60% of the vote. In Marion County, one Democrat won, Tim Bailey, the sheriff. That was it. All the other Republicans won, and by over 60% margins. Why? What were people telling you when you went to the doors?
I think there's just a feeling. There's a feeling of being left behind. In a sense of saying, like, we would talk about how the economy's back and stuff like that, but then you talk to some of the people in Marion, they say, where's the economy back? Because it's not here. And so they would be up, and Marion has experienced some growth, but they were feeling like they're feeling left behind. And so here comes a man that is saying that he can give you the answers, and that's appealing. And so just like in 2008 or 2012, that presidential wave makes it so Republicans across the board get lifted.
Former governor Ted Strickland ran for office and got beat pretty handedly. Matter of fact, being in Marion about 2 weeks before the election, he no longer felt he could win. He had basically thrown in the towel, I think, on his own race and was out just campaigning for Hillary.
Yeah, well, my personal belief is that if you want to win, you always got to run like you're run from behind. You always have to you have to make sure that you're not just hitting the three C's of Columbus, Cincinnati, and Cleveland, and you have to have a ground game across the state, because it's not just about running up the score in those cities. It's about making sure that you get those Democrats to turn out in Marion, you get those Democrats to turn out in Morrow, because then that extra 5-6% you get from that makes a difference on whether or not you win. And so even if it doesn't look like you're going to win 2 weeks out, you have an obligation to Democrats across the state to make sure that you run your heart out until the election day.
With 3 minutes left, Terry, what do you make of all this?
Like I say, I just still can't stress the same thing, you know, that I've said before, is that I just think that we need unity among the party, and we need to have a game plan on how we plan to to win, and you know, just stick with that plan. And
this is an important day because Barbara Bush died last night. What are your thoughts, memories? You were not alive when she was first lady, but what do you think of Barbara Bush?
Anytime you lose somebody, no matter what the party affiliation is, it's heartbreaking. It's not something you want to see. Barbara Bush, from what I've seen, from what I've read, seemed to be a wonderful woman. She seemed to really care about just every person that she was around. It wasn't about who they were or how much money they had. It was just about that person in general. So, anytime you're dealing with a death in politics. It's or a death in government. It's you kind of you sit there and you forget about the. About the party affiliation.
What fascinated me about Barbara Bush was that obviously she was a Republican first lady. She was the mother of a Republican president, and yet she came down hard on President Trump during the election. She said, "I've had enough of Donald Trump," and she said that. After her husband was out of office, she wrote a book that saying she was pro-choice, and she could still be Republican. People didn't say, oh, you know, that's... where are those people? Where are those Democrats? Where are those Republicans that say, hey, maybe I don't toe the party line, but I'm still this?
I think they exist. Those type of Democrats do exist. Sometimes it's about being pro-choice or pro-life. A lot of times around here, it's about the gun rights and stuff like that. And so it's just something... That they exist for sure, and it's just a lot of times they're almost they don't want to speak up as much because they feel like I'm a Democrat, so I'm supposed to believe this. And I, in my belief, that's not what being a Democrat's about. Being a Democrat is about having that big tent and saying we're going to differ on a few things, but it's about caring about every single person.
Kai Mead, the president of the Democratic Club here in Marion. If somebody wanted to reach you, how would they do that?
They can do it by, they can come to one of our meetings. It's the first Wednesday of every month at 6:30. They can connect with me on Facebook. That's probably the best answer. I message back pretty quickly. Okay. And two best ways, I would think.
Mead, and as always, the president of the Republican Club is also welcome on here anytime they would like to come on. We're going to take a quick break, come back with much more. Kai, thank you for coming in after this short break.
When people